Hello, and welcome to the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Learn more about worship, discipleship ministries, and social justice outreach online at hennepinchurch.org. This is the sermon podcast for the traditional worship service on April 10th, 2016. The scripture today is Mark 10, 46-52, and the preacher is Reverend Judy Zabel.
Please be in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
As you're able, let us stand to hear the gospel of the morning. From St. Mark. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood up still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his coat, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. We have heard the word of God. May God guide us in living the word. Let's be seated.
A few years back, I served the Woodbury United Methodist Church. It was my first appointment, and I met a woman there named Nancy, and she had moved up from the South. She had this beautiful Southern drawl. She was really lonely as she came to live in Minnesota. Her husband was transferred here, and she didn't know anybody, and she came to be a part of our Bible study on Monday mornings, and I grew to love Nancy. She had just a quirky way about her, and had a neat perspective on life. One day, we went out for coffee, and we were talking about my car, because I had a flat tire, and I was telling her about how I had pulled over to the side of the road, and I had taken out the tire iron and the jack, and had jacked up the car, and taken the tire iron, and taken the lug nuts off, and took the wheel off, and then put on the spare, and I was kind of, you know, prideful, just a little prideful. And she looked at me with disbelief and horror on her face. And she said to me in that sweet Southern drawl, "Oh my gosh, not me, honey. I'd stand by the side of the road and I'd bat my eyelashes and wait for some handsome man to stop and help me." Now, clearly, Nancy was not afraid to ask for help. But most of us are. Asking for help is a universally dreaded endeavor, says M. Nora Claver in her anti-self-help book, Mayday, Asking for Help in a Time of Need. And whether we're struggling with getting that heavy bag in the overhead bin in the airplane or fixing a flat tire on the side of the road, we are much more likely to say, "I'm good," instead of saying, "Can you help?" In her research, Claver suggests that there are a number of reasons why we don't like to ask for help and try to instead do things on our own. One was we've never been taught how to ask for help. A lot of us don't have role models for that. We were raised in families of people who were very prideful about being self-sufficient. Our grandparents pulled themselves up from their bootstraps as immigrants to this country, and they felt good about doing things themselves. Another reason is we love our independence. In his book, Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community, Robert Putnam reports that we as Americans are becoming more and more isolated from one another. We spend time on our computers, we spend time alone in our homes, and we are tempted to do life alone. Some of us never even think to ask for help. Claver says that we've been so brainwashed by the American ethic of self-sufficiency that asking for help never really comes into our mind. Or we might say, it's easier to do it ourselves. If you want something done right, have you ever said that? Yeah, it's a popular American idiom, and we don't want to be indebted to anyone. We don't want to be in a position of having to reciprocate someday. And some of us are just plain afraid to ask. We're afraid to ask because we wonder what people might think of us and about our abilities. But the problem really is when we're afraid to admit that we need help, we can miss out on the gift that someone else has to offer us. And I would also add that when we are afraid to ask for help, we begin to give in to the idol of self-sufficiency that says, I don't need you, I don't need God, I can do it myself, I can do life on my own. The problem with that kind of mentality is that we can feel very overwhelmed at times when we look at the problems in the world today. We are having to serve this sermon series because we have that sign out front that says it's going to be okay. And many, as Nate told you last week, have stopped and said, boy, that sign has meant a lot to me. Boy, that sign has touched my life. Boy, that sign has caused me to think about how I do life. And it's true, I think. We often think we can do life on our own, and we forget that we do not have to. The story of Bartimaeus helps us to see how we can ask for help, how we can ask for help from God and from one another. The first thing we have to do when we learn from this story is that we have to admit our need. Bartimaeus could no doubt hear the commotion on the road that day. No doubt he had heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He had probably heard that he was a great preacher and that he was one who could heal. We know that Bartimaeus was a blind beggar who sat by the road day after day after day, always dependent on others, waiting for a coin or a word of hope. He heard that Jesus was coming out of Jericho and making his way to Jerusalem. And we know that the passage that follows this text, Jesus is entering into Jerusalem to go to the cross. It is just before the triumphal entry at Palm Sunday. He must have heard that Jesus was just steps away because Bartimaeus' mouth, out of his mouth, erupts these words, Son of David, have mercy on me. Think about this, a poor blind beggar. He could have allowed himself to be jaded or bitter. He could have allowed himself to give up hope that anything could change in his life. He could have been bitter, but Bartimaeus, for whatever reason, was still listening and hoping for new life, for mercy, for healing. And he knew he needed God's mercy. And so Bartimaeus shouted so loud that everyone could hear him over the noise of the crowd that day. Everybody heard that shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, friends, this was no polite request. No, this was a bone-rattling call. Some people didn't like it, so they told him to quiet down, tone it down, keep your mouth shut, stay in your place. And that still happens today, doesn't it? We hear people shouting for justice and Black Lives Matter and our GVLT issues and immigration issues and all kinds of issues as people shout for justice, and we are tempted to shut them down and shut them out. And so what did Bart do? When he heard those words from the crowd to shut up and be quiet, he shouted, maybe even just a little louder, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. He would not be shut up or shut out. Ever felt like crying out to God like that? Ever wanted to do that? Shout with all you got, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on my kid, on my spouse, on my neighbor. Lord, have mercy on us. I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy. I need God's forgiveness. I make mistakes all the time. I mess up. I say things I shouldn't. I don't always respond to the needs around me. I say I love God, but I don't always show with my actions. Maybe you can relate. Because you think, I think it's a human condition that we need God's mercy. And you and I this morning are invited to shout out, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on us. But we may find it hard to hear God's response, God's call. A few weeks ago, there was an article in the Star Tribune by Gail Rosenblum about Hope Mentors. Did you see it? She interviewed Shane Lopez, who wrote a book called Making Hope Happen. And Shane's premise is that people who are hopeful are able to inspire others to hope. And there are people who are hopeful and there are people who are not. Shane says we should choose a hope mentor. A hope mentor is one, he says, who has a tremendous amount of energy for the future. They're born with a leaning toward hope, and they pack it on as they grow. These are the people who see things in the world that just aren't right, and instead of getting discouraged and getting cynical and callous, they go out and start nonprofits. These are the people who are those extraordinary people who move us forward when there doesn't seem to be any hope. These are the people, too, that are just right next door in your neighborhood, inspiring others to be hopeful. They no longer live with that dread and that callousness. They live with a joy, and they help others to do that as well. My question for you this morning is, do you have a hope mentor? Are you a hope mentor for someone else? When Jesus hears Bartimaeus, Jesus stops in his tracks. And Jesus sees Bartimaeus and he says, call him, bring him over to me. And then someone in the crowd, hearing Jesus, says to Bart, take heart, rise, he is calling you. Wow, those are powerful words, aren't they? Aren't those the words that you'd like to hear this morning? Take heart. Take heart when you're down and discouraged. Take heart when you see the sign and you're on the way home from Abbott Northwestern and your diagnosis hasn't been very good. Take heart when your kids are messing up in school and you don't know what to do. Take heart, rise up out of your despair and your discouragement and your disappointment because Jesus is calling you. Do you hear his voice? It's an invitation that we dare not ignore. And Bart knows this because as soon as he hears those words, notice from the text what Bart does. Bart rises up. In fact, he springs up. He throws off his coat and he comes to Jesus. Notice that detail. Bart threw off his coat. Now, this is a big deal for a beggar because the beggar only has the coat. That's all they have in all the world. It is the thing that they will wrap around them as they sleep in the cold of night. It is that cloak of protection that is with him, and they sit on it during the day to keep the dirt from being in their face. A coat of protection is all that Bart has. And when Jesus says, come, Bart throws it off. He throws all caution to the wind, and he jumps up, and we can feel his energy. Can you feel it? Can you feel the hope that he has? And then Jesus asked this question. Now, don't miss it, because it's the question that we have also. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Have you ever thought about that question? Have you ever imagined Jesus asking you that question? Well, it's funny, if you look in the Gospel according to Mark in the 10th chapter, you'll notice that this is the second time Jesus asks that question. Just prior to the Bartimaeus story, right up in front of it, just before you get to Bartimaeus, Jesus is walking along the road with James and John, his disciples. his beloved disciples. And they're walking along the road and they say to Jesus, "Jesus, will you give us anything we ask for you? Will you give us what we want?" And Jesus says, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And James and John said, "Well, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left hand, and we want to sit in your glory." Now, it's kind of a weird thing to ask for, given that just prior to that passage, Jesus has foretold his death on a cross. He says, "You know, I'm going to go into Jerusalem, and the chief priests and the scribes are going to be on my case, and I'm going to be arrested, and I am going to be captured, and I'm going to be put to death." It's as if James and John are in a sleep. They don't even hear this. They don't even acknowledge that Jesus has said, "If you want to be one of my disciples, you're going to have to be ready to drink the cup that I drink, and that you have to have the baptism that I have." And it just passes them by. These fully sighted men are blind as a bat. Now, isn't it interesting that just a few verses later, Bartimaeus, who is blind physically, is spiritually able to see who Jesus really is? Interesting. Interesting. So Jesus comes to Bartimaeus and asks that question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus doesn't say, "I want to sit in a place on their right hand or the left hand. I don't want power. I don't want prestige. I don't want position. I want to see again." I wonder, are we more like James and John, so confident in our assumptions about who Jesus is that we have become blind to what Jesus is really about? Do we want to sit in Jesus' inner circle asking for a place of privilege and comfort and glory? Are we willing to jump up and throw off everything we know and everything we believe to true to make space for healing and sight, new insights? Do we really want to see? Really see? Because it seems to me that if we are committed to seeing as Jesus sees, we will recognize very quickly that we are spiritual beggars, all of us. All of us in need of the grace and love of Jesus Christ. All of us stand before the King of Kings, the risen Christ, dressed in tatters, yearning to be clothed in the compassion and love of Christ. In need of healing and a restoration from the one who loves us best. And when we see this, and when we are willing to admit that we are not self-sufficient, that we are in need of the grace and love of God, this is when we can really see life for what it is and for what it can be. I'm encouraged by this story about Bartimaeus because I realize that I don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. I only have to be willing to rise and come and follow. For that is what Bartimaeus does. He rises up and he wants to see. And when he can, it says, the text says, he follows Jesus on the way. Friends, we don't have to pretend to be self-sufficient because Jesus will ask us too, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" Jesus says that Bart's faith has made him well. He can really see just like Jesus. Well, you know, if we see just like Jesus, that will mean that we cannot turn a blind eye to what Jesus already sees. We cannot unsee the things that Jesus sees. Do we see our need for healing? In Jesus' day, physical blindness was common, as it still is in developing countries. But in the U.S., spiritual blindness is far more common than physical blindness is today. You know how it goes. There are days when we can see so clearly the will of God, so clearly what it means to be a follower of Jesus, so clearly to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and to set the oppressed free. We can see that so clearly, and we participate that as we are part of this congregation. But oh, there are so many other days when we are blind, spiritually blind. There are days when I am blind to the goodness of God around me, all around me, every moment of the day, and I forget to be filled with gratitude. There are days when I am too busy to reflect on just how faithful God really is, day in, day out, from generation to generation. And I begin to start wondering, maybe you do too, if God who raised the dead can still do anything without my wisdom and help. Are you with me, friends? Have you ever been there where you start to think that God is pretty small and incapable of really transforming the world? I can start to think that it's all up to me. How blind can I be? I can be blind to the misery in the world. I can go to my comfortable home in Maple Grove, and it's so easy to forget that there are millions of kids who go to bed every night hungry. I can forget that our world has melting glaciers and rising sea levels and has been trusted to our care, and we are in trouble. I can be so blind. Are you like this too? Not if you are. But here is the good news. Here is the good news. Jesus came to heal blind people, blind disciples, blind religious leaders, blind me, blind you. What kind of blindness would Jesus heal in your life today? Do you have some blindness in your relationships? Are you blind and you're not able to forgive your neighbor? Are you blind to some of the habits that are drawing you away from God every day? Blind Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus' power to heal him and to make him well. He needed help, and we need help too. And it is okay. It is okay to admit that we need help. It is okay to ask for help and for healing. We too can ask and pray for that. We can say to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. Now, perhaps today, all you can get out is to whisper that prayer deep inside your soul. Perhaps today you can only whisper, Jesus, have mercy on me. But maybe today is the day when you hear those sweet words, take heart, rise. He is calling you. He is calling you. He is calling me. He is calling us. Perhaps these words are so refreshing that they give us courage to spring up out of our seat and yell, Jesus, have mercy on me. Try it. Jesus, have mercy on me. Try it again. Jesus, have mercy on me. Feels kind of good, doesn't it? It should. Because the good news is this. The risen Christ, Jesus, is here today, right here. Jesus is ready to heal us. Jesus is ready to give us mercy. Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And my answer is this. Give me eyes to see, God. Give me lips to speak. Give me ears to hear. Give me hands to serve. Give us courage to follow you on the way. How will you answer him?
This has been a presentation from the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, copyright 2016. Thank you for listening.